talking with Jan Lyons, of course, from Kansas, former president of NCBA, and one of the co-chairs of the task force that has brought this report on changing the structure of NCBA to the membership. You're real close now to actually seeing a vote this weekend, Jan. Your thoughts as you've come to this point and maybe some of the latest feedback you've gotten on the program?
Well, Ron, I think one of the things that we're hearing loud and clear is that people appreciate the fact that we've been listening. We've had an open process whereby people can bring their thoughts and recommendations and concerns to us. And so the task force takes each of those at each step along the way, and we can refine and change as appropriate. That process is, that very deliberate process is continuing here. We're having several forums this afternoon whereby we will be listening, we will be presenting, and then we will be answering questions and listening to what people are telling us as to what they want to see in their organization. Certainly the most important thing, it seems, is that strong grassroots foundation, and we're committed to continuing that. Certainly with the more open committee process, we think that's important to have that. Second thing, I guess, that I would say that I'm hearing loud and clear is that we have such diverse, complex issues facing our industry today that we have to be able to integrate this industry and in our in-house organization to be able to quickly adapt to those, to be nimble, to come with decision-making, and also to have everybody at the table to give their insight. And so that's why you're seeing a integrated proposal that we've brought forward. We think it's real important that we've seen enough fragmentation in this industry and in this organization. And we think it's real important that we all gather around, if you will, and kind of address these complex issues that can put us out of business. You know, you look at Time Magazine, you listen to ABC News the other night regarding questioning the wholesomeness of milk based on the fact of how animals are housed, and you know, those kinds of issues, plus the political climate with all the regulation, just kind of makes it necessary that we have broader vision and broader insight to address these, and that we make a strong voice by being united.
What sort of feedback are you hearing regarding this dramatic downsizing in the actual governing bodies, the executive committee and that type of thing?
Well, the first thing, of course, is at first blush, people say, wow, you know, going from a 274 board member or board composition to 29, which is what we're recommending, is a big change. And one of the things that we're hearing was, wow, is that where am I going to fit in and how am I going to be a part of this? Well, it's real important to recognize that we've added into this structure, along with that 29-member board, a comprehensive House of Delegates, which is elected from the states, the state affiliates, the state beef councils, product council, breed associations, and others that are already players in this organization. And then we have that broad input from committees. And at the urging of many, we've opened that process up a little bit at some of those committees. We think it's important that everybody, whether they be an NCBA member or a member of a member organization like a beef council, or any invited guest that wants to come or person in this industry that wants to come, has a right to come and give input into that process that then makes recommendations to that House of Delegates. And the House of Delegates, of course, reconciles that and votes on that to send those recommendations on to the board.
One thing we have heard is that there's maybe some concern about the firewall issue as far as with those federation folks interacting with policy people. Is there adequate firewalls in this proposal?
I think that's a really good question, because we were charged with making sure that anything we brought forward as a structure had to be legal. That was the first underlining, foundating principle, if you will, of what we had to do. And so that's a good question, and maybe we haven't answered it fully enough, but absolutely yes, a strong, strong firewall regarding financial accounting must exist and will exist in this new structure as it does today. One thing that we've kind of taken that firewall, though, discussion sometimes a little too far, the firewall really applies to that financial accounting procedures and the use of checkoff dollars, because certainly we are committed, as are all contractors, to making sure that those checkoff dollars are used in legally appropriate and approved activities for checkoff dollars. We are still committed to that, but the firewall doesn't have to be about communicating with a person who's a policy director or a federation director. So we've taken the firewall to new heights when we talk about communications, firewalls between communications or between people. It's not about people and communicating. We need to be able to better communicate and relate to people. So we are going to enforce strictly, however, that firewall for the financial accounting, which is critical. We're committed to that.
Of course, a lot of that firewall discussion comes from groups outside of this relationship, like an RCAF.
That's true, and I think in all due fairness to others who have brought these questions up, and we've seen some of it in the media, oftentimes those people haven't even seen our full proposal or allowed us the opportunity to give discussion and explanation of why we have come with this. And in fact, the biggest question that started this whole endeavor was that the idea that the Federation should be more separate, if you will, from the structure, and that we began with this, and we heard this from a lot of fronts. And Ron, we considered that option. We looked at that and considered that very, very seriously, because we were told that. And we found that that was, as we looked at that, that was the exact opposite of where we ended up. And that's, you know, what we found, that in order to address these really complex issues that we're seeing in Washington and in the consumer marketplace, we have to more fully integrate and communicate with all in this industry. And so I think as people see what we are proposing and how we've envisioned that it will work in some of these tough issues, I think they'll come on board and they'll see why and see that it makes sense. Perfect example, and I have to cite it for you, we looked at a model like how we addressed BSE, which was a really big issue back when I was president of NCBA. And we found that the way we were successful to mitigate the effect of that issue was to be able to come together as a team. We had a plan in place that we all rallied around. We were able to come with messages that were disseminated out through the states. Everybody was engaged in this effort. And it was a wonderful outcome, because it was one of the most successful PR campaigns that was run to mitigate in our industry. And so we looked at that and the effect and the outcome, and we found that by coming together, by working together, you have a stronger voice, you're able to understand where others are coming from. So we're looking toward involving more outside interests, outside voices, and bringing those to the table so that we can have a stronger voice. Because in agriculture, as you know, every day we're losing people. And if we're going to have a future, we've got to be able to address these big issues that are surrounding food safety and those welfare issues and humane things and all of the regulations coming from Washington in the environmental area. They can dramatically impact us ranchers out in the country. And so we're looking at how we can solve those. And so we came full square around and said, we don't need more separation and fragmentation. We need more unity. We need more working together. We need more integrated communication.
Are you glad it's about over?
I think the task force, we've been in this deliberate process since our first listening session, which was open to the general membership back in July of 08, I believe. So the task force has worked very hard. They've come from all geographical areas of the country. All segments are represented. And I will tell you, they are a wonderful group to work with. We've had excellent facilitators that are experts, if you will, in the field of association management. So we've been able to really do some real soul searching. And I think that to answer your question, I think we are all ready to pass this on. And let me just say, with this vote that we're looking at towards Saturday, that will be a vote on our final report, and it will be a vote on the concept, because what we are recommending in that report is that new sets of eyes look at these details and define that, further define what that will look like in a lot of areas as far as policies and procedures. In fact, they will add the details to that, and they will develop the bylaws that will be looked at for approval in the summer conference of 2010. They will also look at the implementation timeline as to how we integrate or how we move into that new structure if it's approved. And they will also look at things that the investment schedules, which is a big question out there in the minds of a lot of people, and how much is it going to cost me to play. And what the task force felt was we didn't want to be the ones to address those monetary issues, but we did make recommendations such that we feel like the minimum should be low, so we have lots of participation, but we certainly need to have more dollars for the services that we are providing. So those will be determined, those investment schedules, by the states and others who are going to be affected by it. So there will be a team, a working group, looking at that as well. All of those details will be laid out in July at the summer conference in Denver. And so that's when the final vote on the bylaws and all of these would take place. And certainly if it's not legal, I can tell you right now, if something is not legal, we won't do it. It's just as simple as that, because we're committed to that.
That's based on what you hear from USDA.
That's based on what we are committed to, as well as what we hear from USDA. We've had several conversations with USDA. We've sat down with them and the Beef Board together in Washington. And we've had some conversations with their lead attorney. He's had a chance to look at this. And to date, they have found nothing that is inconsistent with the act and order in our proposal. So that's where we're at. We don't have a full written legal opinion, but that's not their policy or practice to do that ahead of that. And that takes a lot of time. But we feel very comfortable and confident in what we're bringing forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ha ha.